Okay, so who is Commvault? Small audience, as I said. Look, if you have any questions as we go through. So Commvault's whole value proposition is really just around managing data from one single platform. So when I say managing data, we're really talking about backup, archive, replication, and doing it from one platform as opposed to doing it from multiple platforms. So not a separate product for archive or replication or backup, and it's just one platform to manage it. And it's really all just built around what we call our Simpana technology. So everything we're going to show you here today, 100% written by Commvault. We don't OEM anyone's technology. We don't buy companies to achieve it. We write all our own software. And our mantra, our philosophy, whatever you want to call it, our tagline, is really solving forward, which is trying to create solutions based upon what customers, what their problems are, not only today, but what they are in the future. So trying to work on solutions now to problems that customers don't even really know about. So just a few facts on the company. NASDAQ listed, New Jersey, US based, an old AT&T business for anyone kind of going back into those days. We have about 75 people in Australia now. We've got about 2,000 customers in Australia now across federal government, state government, general commercial, in that space. Globally, I think we have about 6 or 7% market share. Australia, New Zealand, I think we've got about 18% market share. And I think that relates a little bit to Australian customers tend to be a bit more aggressive in adopting new technologies. So as technologies come out, they tend to adopt the new technologies and use better technologies. And either that or we're just very good salespeople down here, which I think is probably more the former because we're not the most attractive bunch of people. And the company, as per this slide, the company is still growing very well. OEM relationships and tight relationships with Hitachi Data Systems, Dell, and NetApp. And a chunk of what we're going to talk about here right now is a chunk of technology that NetApp have OEM specifically to deliver on some of the shortcomings of their Snap Manager suite and stuff. So a tight and blossoming relationship with the NetApp guys, but long historical relationships with HDS and Dell. I think it's worthwhile noting, even through kind of the GFC and that, the Commvault revenues kept going up and we're still pretty profitable and making good money. Why? It's because our whole value proposition is doing everything from one platform, which enables you to save money. So I'm not having to go and deploy multiple storage solutions. I'm not having to deploy multiple GUIs and infrastructure or go on multiple training courses or use multiple media across the variances in backup and archive and replication. And that ROI modelling is what we sell really heavily on to customers to explain to them how to save money. And that's really why we continued to sell okay through that particular period because the customers get the value prop. Only last week we went and spoke to a TSM customer, a long-time TSM customer, and they were they had a VMware challenge, which VMware and TSM don't play very nicely. And the guy said, "I've got no budget to do a backup replacement." And within 3 days, it wasn't a huge environment, but it was also non-trivial. There were about 150 servers. Within about 3 days, we had a sale in that environment. Simply by the cost of their TSM maintenance, we could deploy Commvault, give them a better solution, and 3 years maintenance for lower than just what their TSM maintenance costed alone. So how we sell is really built around that ROI modelling and endeavouring to save customers money, give them better functionality but at a much lower price point. And then kind of hundreds of awards. I think the middle one there is probably the one that's relevant to this audience. In that, DCIG are just an independent research organisation, and they each year write their buyer's guides. So the buyer's guide that they won, and it's probably a little bit hard to read, was around virtual server backup software. So they analysed 30-odd products in that backup software environment for virtual servers, and Commvault came out on top of that. And not just built around Hyper-V, but also for VMware and Citrix Xen as well. But the one I think that really resonates with most customers is in that context of the Gartner Magic Quadrant. So this is the 2011 Magic Quadrant, which has us in the leaders position. Historically, people kind of think Net Backup or TSM as the leaders in this space. But you can see that Gartner are continuing to drive certainly Net Backup and the semantic position down, and Commvault's got that leader position right now. If you read the Gartner analysis, what are the reasons why Gartner rate us so highly? It's really on two kind of technology criteria and one financial criteria. The technology criteria is virtualization and dedupe. So the capability of having the best virtualization functionality and integrate that tightly with really cool, funky dedupe stuff is what's driven the Gartner position. Plus the OEMs through HDS, NetApp and Dell, they think our ability to execute, which is this axis here, is pretty clear and well-defined and successful, which I guess correlates to revenue more than anything. So what's triggering this? What's driving kind of Commvault up and what's making us kind of grow at the rate we're growing? And it's really these kind of six key points around what's changing. All customers have to reduce their cost to manage data. Your data is growing at a significantly fast rate, your applications and that, but the infrastructure and the investment and the people to maintain this isn't increasing at the same rate. So you've got to be able to do a lot more with less. You've got to be able to be more efficient, and that's what's driving it. Virtualization, and why you guys are here this morning, obviously, is around virtualization, and that concept of let's start packing all of our data down, consolidating everything, starts to create numerous challenges that's creating that transformation from historical ways, which is what we'll talk some more about. And data center consolidation, you know, no longer do people have an Exchange server out in every branch office and things like that. So how all your data now, where it resides, how it exists, has changed significantly in the last 3 or 4 years. We kind of had about 7 or 8 years, or maybe even longer, maybe 10 years, kind of from the late 90s to 2008, 2009, where the technology didn't change a hell of a lot with backup. You'd load an agent on a server and then you'd back it up over the wire, over the SAN, and move the data. And that probably stood the test of time. But now with a lot of these kind of challenges, those methodologies no longer are standing up. And we've also got the obligatory kind of cloud concept of cloud's now a valid storage tier, or it's a source of data, or it's a repository that we can drop data into. So how do we use cloud effectively in that data management requirement? And customers certainly can look at cloud as maybe an alternative to, instead of backing up to tape and shipping the tape off-site, we can now automatically put some data into the cloud. It's off-site and it's secure and protected. So we'll look at those ways. Obviously, more and more, the whole concept of e-discovery, and records retention, really not only being able to, you know, back up your data for insurance purposes, but I also need to be able to get access to the data at a very granular level to meet regulatory compliance. So that's a concept. And also, customers are saying now, I've got so much data in my backups, but I don't know much about it. How can I learn more information around what my backups look like and how the data exists, and just basically analyse and get a lot more business intelligence being driven out of your data management requirements? So they're the things that are really challenging the part of the industry that we play in, that data and information management space. And this was a Gartner quote, basically saying that, you know, the investments in data centres and technologies and what businesses are requiring from IT continues to grow. But if you look at it straight from a data protection perspective, the investments that customers have put in that space over the last several years hasn't changed markedly. So if you just keep trying to do it the same way, you're not going to not only meet today's requirements, but you're certainly not going to meet some of the future requirements in how you need to protect your data. So Commvault has a suite of software called Simpana, and we use Simpana as really the platform to build out our offerings. So through Simpana we have a common platform, again all 100% developed by Commvault, and that common platform allows us to be able to control all of our configuration, to define policies, to run encryption and content indexing and data deduplication and all of the capabilities. So that as we add features into there, the same feature applies to backup or archive or replication or SRM. Irrespective of how you're trying to move data around, all of those features are common. So I don't have to stand up separate infrastructure for backup and separate infrastructure for archive, as an example. So once you've got that platform, it's really the five kind of main keys of that data and information management is I need to be able to analyse my data. I need to find out where is my data, what does it look like, where are the prohibited files, which file systems are going the fastest, whose mailbox has got all the multimedia attachments, you know, which SQL databases have got index fragmentation. all of those kind of points that you need to be able to do best backup and archive. You need to be able to understand your data. So a key part of our suite is that ability to analyse. Once we've got the analyse bit kind of knocked down, then you can use the information you've gained from here and start to define better backup policies. Data in my data centre needs to be backed up very differently to data in the virtualisation environment, to data out at the remote sites, to data at the laptops. Each one of them has, you know, very specific challenges. Your laptops need to know, are they on AC power, do they have the right subnet, you know, some nuances around that kind of stuff. Whereas data in your virtualisation environment needs to be backed up at an image level, at a VHD or a VMDK level, and to be able to recover the data granularly. So you've got the different challenges. Replicate those copies of data around, integrate tightly with archiving. So to be able to go and pick up, you know, any data that hasn't been accessed in the last 6 months and move that to lower cost tiers of storage as it ages out, but still make it accessible and, I guess, transparently accessible to the end user. And that's what the archiving platform will do across file systems, across Exchange, across SharePoint, across SAP, etc. And then lastly, search. And search is something that kind of, certainly in the data management space, most people don't think search. So if you're using Backup Exec or NetBackup or Tivoli or one of those kind of things, if a user comes to you and says, I want a file restored, you'll say, sure, what's the file name? I don't know. You know, when did you have it last? Not sure, 3 weeks ago, 4 weeks ago. Or can you tell me what server it was on? You know, some users don't even know what day it is, let alone what server it was on. So in that kind of context, with those old legacy products, unless a user can give you some specific data about a file or an email, it's very difficult to be able to restore the data. With Commvault, because we've got that search capability, you can say, just give me a keyword. You know, somewhere inside the document was a reference to insurance policy 4679, and they're looking for that file. You can just search for 4679, find that particular piece of keyword, and here's the 6 files that contain that, 3 emails and 2 documents in SharePoint, and to be able to find that data and restore. So that search capability is something that's becoming more and more a really intrinsic part of data management, and we'll talk a little bit more about that as we get through. So really it's about being able to identify all of that data in the environment, to be able to go and find it and then be able to move the data around under backup or archive or replication and also to be able to control snapshots. And then to be able to store it in those storage pools. We really don't care what you use down here, whether or not you want to use some disk from IBM or you want to use an appliance from Hitachi or you want to use a Dell backup target or you want to use a cloud storage provider. They're really just a pool of storage resources that are available to us at that level. And then as we touched on also at that point, then to be able to go and content index that information so that we can start to really empower the users to do their own restores effectively through content. Because users don't really understand the concept of a file and an email and a record in SharePoint and a document. They get it, but can they find the information easily and accessibly? And that's what Commvault's about, is we've got all that data under management. Let's just make the user have access to it based upon their permissions. So if you kind of sum all this up from a Commvault perspective, which area of the market do we play in? Do we play in backup or information management or archive or governance or replication? We're probably in about 8 of the quadrants that Gartner lists, and it's probably about a $10 billion market share. But I think really the way that we kind of see it is if you had a Gartner market scope of which companies do end-to-end data management from one particular platform, we're really in a market by ourselves because none of our competitors will look at backup and archive and replication and information management all from one platform. EMC, I think, have about 27 products in their suite that overlap into the Commvault space, and Symantec have about 18 products. So if you want to do what you do from Commvault through one interface, you need to go and buy about 18 different point solutions from Symantec or 20 plus products from EMC. So we think we're the market leader. We think we've got 100% market share in the space of doing all this the smart way. But really, Hyper-V, in the context here of Hyper-V, and you can almost... You can almost replace the term Hyper-V with VMware and to a lesser degree the Citrix stuff, because the stuff that I'm going to show you here now is not only applicable to Hyper-V, but we can also do it in that VMware context as well. So we'll just use Hyper-V as the example here. So as I said before, the historical ways of how you back data up, let's go and put an agent on a server which will identify what data needs to be backed up, and let's move that across the LAN or the SAN or the WAN into a backup target, has probably stood the test of time for until about 2008, 2009. But the really uptake of virtualization and storage grids and some cloud frameworks and that has really started to create some challenges in how you manage data in those types of environments. And that's really led us to the point of now starting to break down in these highly high-density environments where we no longer have the backup window capability. We've got to have that virtual environment running 24/7. It can't have a backup load hitting it, because there's going to be one of the 50 servers or 100 servers in that environment that needs 24/7 performance, so we can't put a backup load onto it. So really how you start to manage data in these virtualized environments and do your backups and your archives and replicas has really changed significantly from the way that we've historically done it. And I guess you can kind of use that kind of square peg in a round hole kind of analogy, that if you keep trying to use the older products to do that kind of stuff, you can really start to run into challenges. And I guess, you know, we've kind of seen in terms of how you back up your virtualized environments, you've seen the people like Veeam and that appear, because NetBackup and EMC and a few of those kind of companies haven't met the challenge. It's kind of opened a space for the niche players to come in and create a relatively cool solution for your virtualized environments. But why stand up NetBackup to back up your old environment and Veeam to back up your virtualized environment? Now I've got two consoles to manage and I need separate infrastructure and I've got multiple training courses and things. So we say let's do it all from the one product, but let's do it right in each context. If it's a remote laptop that needs to be backed up, back it up in the context of that. If it's a virtualized environment, back it up how you should be backing up virtualized environment, but still do it all from one platform. And I guess that's the key message. So what are some of the challenges that you get in that virtual server environment with an increased number of virtual machines? It's really around the time. One of the challenges is just the basic time to go and discover what virtual machines you've got, to go and load an agent onto them as a new virtual machine's created, to be have the workflow to identify that it's been created, to put the agent on it, to configure it up, really starts to create challenges. Certainly your virtual server teams now are just, they're out there just creating new virtual servers all the time because it's so simple and easy to do. Someone wants a new application, it's easier just most of the time just to fire up off a template a new virtual machine, and it gives rapid deployment. But that obviously starts to create challenges, is how do we back up those virtual machines? Another challenge is really the impact on infrastructure. As I said, you now have consolidated all of those 100 servers now into your virtual environment. You know, the servers that were mission critical running 24/7, historically you would back them up differently because you wouldn't want any load on. Now you've really got to make sure that you're backing up all of your environment almost off server or in a proxying methodology, so you're not putting any load back onto that production environment. And that's kind of one of the key challenges. And then how do I get the data? How do I get the data off in that level, but still ensure that we've got that granular recoverability, so that I can get my VHD file or my VMDK file and back it up, but then still do a full granular restore capability. And then how do I integrate that out to my dedupe pools or my cloud pools or my tape target and keep that tape target in dedupe format, so I'm not blowing out my media costs? How do you start to manage all of these particular challenges in virtual environments? You know, all of our customers obviously now are going virtual because it brings so many benefits. But the one benefit that it doesn't bring, the one thing that virtualization just kills you on, is backup because of this consolidation concept. And that's kind of led to some improvements around the way you do things. So in the early days when virtualization first appeared, the common way of doing things was just going and putting an agent into a guest. So you would just effectively treat a virtual server as you would a physical. New server, let's load an agent into it, and that would give you the ability to be able to uh, to back it up as you would a physical server. But in terms of scalability, that obviously gave you restrictions that, you know, the number of virtual machines you could manage would be restricted. The number of virtual how long it would take you to back up virtual machines could go in size, and the particular load that you're going to put on your virtual environment in that context is going to be significant, because you're now backing up 500 virtual machines through 3 or 4 or 5 network interfaces. So your load becomes significant. Both VMware and Hyper-V and the Citrix N all created some decent APIs to be able to access the data. And that kind of served its purpose, and probably did for the last couple of years, when you're only running 20 or 30 virtual machines per virtual server. But what we're literally seeing now is that customers are running hundreds of virtual machines in each of their virtual server farms or clouds, with the way they're being configured. And that's led to some other challenges. So even if we're using the Hyper-V APIs, or even if we're using the VADP APIs to be able to back up the data, if I'm going and looking at what data's changed and seeing 20 gig of change on each virtual machine, and I've got 500 virtual machines, that means even if I'm using these cool methods, a backup's still going to be about 10 terabytes. I've still got to move, you know, 500 virtual machines, 20 gig change on average per night. Across that, there's 10 terabytes. So my ability to be able to scale this up really comes down to the data movement. I've still only got those 4 interfaces. I've now got to move 10 terabytes, but I don't want any load on my environment while I'm doing that. So that's really led to the challenge that, yeah, these APIs have created some smarter ways to do things, but it still is a bottleneck. It's still going to take me time to move 10 terabytes of data. It's still going to put a significant load on my server to move that 10 terabytes. And the scalability is restricted. And as you'll see in the next few slides, what we've done with Simpana, by combining some of our cool parts of technology, we've literally architected this virtual backup, virtual server backup solution, or data management solution, that really does scale to thousands of virtual machines. It really does give us the capability of protecting hundreds of virtual machines literally in minutes without a significant impact at all on the production servers. Sounds too good to be true. I guess the only way to kind of prove this is to show you how it works. Now, it really kind of needs a bit of context around it. We need to put some context here as to how do we get there? How do we achieve this backing up 1,000 virtual machines or 100 virtual machines in literally minutes? And the context really is around very tight snapshot integration. So To frame the conversation a little bit, it's important to understand the concept of the snapshots and data management. Historically, in the old days, if you had lots of money, you could go and buy some really cool arrays, and you could be able to integrate snapshot-integrated types of operations. So if you had an EMC array or a HDS array or a NetApp storage, you could quite easily go and be able to create lots of snapshots and give you one level of data protection. Equally, then you'd have your backup solution, and your backup solution would be out there and be able to go and do your longer-term copies. So I'm going to back up that data to a backup target and then out to tape and have my copies. So you had these two, not competing, but two almost complementary technologies to give you some data protection. But you had to be smart. You had to have lots of money to do this one, firstly, because not only the array storage would cost you money, but your snapshot software for the arrays also was significant. Also, typically, you had to be very clever on being able to script and do a lot of the script controls of the snapshots. Certainly, if you come into that Hitachi world, you had to be their scripting language there around Hawkum is, you know, a different world. And the average, it was kind of too much for the average customer. They'd have to go and pay lots of money to bring in consultants to, you know, I've just added a new LUN, I've added some provisions, some more storage. I've now got to bring that expensive consultant back in to go and write a new script for me. So the concept of managing snapshots was there, but it was kind of the realm of the big end of town, and then you had your backup solution. And I guess, yeah, you could make it work, but the fundamental challenge was, when I want some data back, what if I want a project 42.doc from server 21 on March 27th? Where do I go to get that file restored? Do I go to the snapshot? Do I fire up the GUI? Do I mount a snapshot? Do I go and browse? Do I try and find it? Or do I go over to my backup solution, and do I then go through the backup solution and look at that point in time? And you have to make a conscious decision. And, oh, look, I'll look here first because that's on-site. This one might be in a tape off-site. I'll try and find it here. I've wasted half an hour. Now I've got to go over to here and find it. And that's kind of the challenge that customers have had. And this led us to create the Snap Protect module. And this is what Hitachi use very heavily now, and also NetApp and Dell across their arrays as well. And what Snap Protect allowed you to do was all at a policy level. So this was just you create a policy, you create a drop-down list of what your array type is, and it controls all of the process. And the process really is to go and identify, you know, a source volume on attached to a server or at a NAS platform, to go and identify a source volume and quiesce the application. So we've got type application quiesce, and then once we've got the quiesce point, then go and trigger a snapshot, an array level snapshot at your storage layer. And we could create a snapshot here at 8 a.m., at 12 p.m., at 4 p.m., and we can have a snapshot created every 4 hours. And in this example here, we might set the retention on those snapshots for 3 days as an example. Once we've got that snapshot copy, then from one of the particular points in time, let's pick the 10 p.m. snapshot or whatever time we want to use, in this case the 12 p.m. one, then let's go and take a copy of that snapshot out to our dedupe pool. So we'll take that out to our dedupe target. And that might be effectively our daily backup copy. And this one here, dedupe aware, and we're going to retain this one for 60 days. Then from there, I can go out and take it out to my longer term retention tier. So I'm going to take this to my appliance or my VTL or my tape library or a cloud target. And this one here, we might just keep the month end copies only, and we'll retain that for 7 years. So now from server 21, I've now got a copy of its data every 4 hours sitting at the array at the storage level. I've got a copy sitting daily at the disk level, and I've got a copy sitting out at the tape level. This is all as easy to configure as being able to identify that I want to create a snapshot and pick from the drop-down list what snapshot do you want to use. Do I want to use a HDS shadow image or a copy on write? Do I want to use a NetApp ONTAP snap or a snap vault or a snap mirror copy? Do I want to use a snap view copy? Do I want to use a compellent snap, a 3-par snap, etc., as really as quickly as hitting a drop-down list. So if I'm running HDS today and NetApp tomorrow, instead of having to go and reconfigure and rescript, all I do is go into the drop-down list and say, instead of it being a HDS copy and write, I want it to be a NetApp ONTAP snap. And it really is that simple with Snap Protect. So now, go back to that scenario. I want to restore project 42.doc for server 21 on March 27. I simply go to the GUI and say, server 21, March 27th, project 42.doc, restore. And it will work out. Can I get it from this snap, that snap, that snap? Or no, I have to go to the dedupe pool. Yes, bang, I've got the data I need to restore it. Or no, it's aged off there because we're outside 60 days. It will go out to the tape pool, work out what tape it needs. Is the tape in the library? Yes, it is. Bang, restore the data. So you as the administrator just say, project 42.doc, bang, restore. And you don't have to know, can I get it from a snap, from a clone, from a disk copy, from a tape copy? Where is that tape? It's all automated for you. And the platform coverage here, we do about 75 to 80 array types in that mix. So all of your main EMC platforms, all your NetApp platforms, HDS, all the Dell platforms from the Equalogic to the MD series through Compellent, all of the HP platforms, all of the IBM platforms. And through the LSI integration we've got, you pick up about 40 different array types because of all the OEMs that... Basically, anyone who didn't want to develop their own storage platform would go to IBM. Oh, sorry, would go to LSI and get that level of capability. And I guess the key part here is full integration with VMware and Hyper-V. So we'll come back now and focus really on that Hyper-V context. Once we've got that snapshot, then again, where do we store this level? Again, we don't care. Just get some SATA disk and that, and we'll make that a dedupe pool, and we'll create that as a target, and then take it out to a tape tier or an internal or an external cloud copy as well, if you want to do that. So how does this fit into Hyper-V? So keep that Snap Protect in context as we go through. So this is really how you start to, going back to that slide, how do you protect thousands of VMs? How do you protect literally hundreds of virtual machines in minutes? How do you get that zero impact environment against your virtualized environment? So how do you get that level of scalability? And as we run through this, keep in context here that at a recent expo that we did in the US, we had this running every half an hour. We had 500 virtual machines that were about 20 gig each, so it's about 10 terabytes of data. And every half an hour, we were doing a data protection job, which was quiescing those virtual machines, triggering a hardware level snapshot, getting our protection copy. And we're able to achieve that in 17 minutes. About 14 minutes of the 17 minutes was effectively the quiesce time at the virtual server layer. So they were doing full backups. They were doing full backups each time. So they were backing up all 10 terabytes. But how do you do it? You can't back up 10 terabytes in 17 minutes. But what you can do is you can trigger hardware snapshots, because the snapshots literally take, you know, 30 seconds, 20 seconds to do a snapshot. So out of that 17 minutes, 14 minutes of it is just getting those 500 virtual machines into a consistent state, into a quiesce state, so they're in a mode at a VMware level or at a Hyper-V level that what we're going to take a snapshot now at the data store level or the cluster shared volume level is consistent. So effectively, you're creating your protection copy. So how does this work? As we talked about, the first important thing is auto-discovery. Let's work out, firstly, before we go into any operation, are there any new virtual servers existing in this pool? Once we've got that, then send a quiesce signal through to your Hyper-V servers. So we want to make sure that your environment here is each of these virtual machines is in a consistent state. They're still running, still are highly available to users, but they are in a consistent state. Once we do that, then we go and trigger a snapshot. This is that snap protect that I talked about before. So we've quiesced. We know that what's sitting here on our cluster shared volume is consistent, so let's now go and trigger an array level snapshot. Let's go and trigger an on-tap snap or a shadow image or a snap view or a compellent snap or a three-pass snap, etc., to give us that protection copy. Highlighting here, we're not talking so much your longer-term backup copies. We're talking here a protection copy. I've got a consistent view that if someone goes and does something to that virtual machine or someone changes some, deletes some data, I've got now a view inside that kind of time period to be able to say that I have a consistent protected copy of that data. But it is relying on tight integration with our snapshot framework. So once we've got that snapshot copy then we can also now go and take out to our longer term protection tier. We can go and take that out off and effectively go and create the longer term backup copy. Most customers will go and run this through effectively an offload Hyper-V node or a VMware proxy node. Why? Because we want these particular production virtual servers. We want them zero impact in terms of that data protection operation. When I'm taking a copy of that snapshot through to my backup dedupe pool, I want to ensure that there's zero load put back onto the combination of my production storage and my production hosts. So here now we've got that capability of taking out our snapshot copies that we've created, and let's tail them out to the longer term retention. So is this copy getting it off-site in 17 minutes? Is it achieving that? No, but it is giving you a genuine protection copy that you've got available for full recovery really inside that short amount of time. And again, because we're using Snap Protect here, we can run this every 4 hours or every 8 hours and create multiple copies, as opposed to what you're probably doing now, which is just a nightly incremental copy, as an example. So take your multiple copies, set your retention for 3 days at the snapshot layer, and then drive a copy out to disk or tape for your longer term retention. But look, it's all still kind of focused around the restore. You still want to make sure that even though we're doing this really funky backups, we still want to be able to restore the data. So not only because we're doing this level of integration, we're giving you that capability, but no matter whether we're taking the data from a recovery perspective from a snap, or we're taking it from a disk or a cloud or a tape copy, we've still got that capability to be able to restore the data cross-server and also at a very granular level. Once we've got those copies, again, now we can start to move the copies around. So we've got that capability of being able to drive them, which copies we take from the snapshots and then drive them out to the longer-term retention copies is highly configurable. Do I want to take every snapshot and drive it out? Do I just want to take the snapshot that's created at 10 p.m. at night? So you've got a lot of configurability there in how you move the data around once you've got those snap copies. With respect to the auto discovery, there's a lot of configuration. You know, what about the scenario, and you've all probably come across this, what about the scenario where someone from the server team comes to the backup administrator and says, I want virtual server 42, I want some data from that restored. And the server and the backup guy will go, well, server 42, it's not on my backup list, I never backed it up. And, you know, when was it created? Oh, I created it last week to do some testing, and then I deleted it, but I didn't realise that I had some stuff in there that I want restored. Surely you've backed it up. And the common thread is, well, if you don't tell me about it, how can I back it up? And that's where this auto discovery really plays into that scenario. Any new virtual machines that get created, let's make sure that we discover them and automatically back them up. And you can do a chunk of kind of cool auto discovery rule-based processing. If it meets this particular criteria, have it backed up under this particular policy that says snap it every 4 hours. If it exists under this particular criteria, then let's just back it up once a day straight to disk. Or if it exists under this particular criteria, let's not back it up at all and make it known to the business that servers in that pattern aren't being backed up. So you can do some cool auto discovery rules to ensure that not only are we discovering them, but once we discover them, we back them up in the correct context to make sure that we are backing them up as per the business defines. So we've backed these up at the VHD level, in the Hyper-V context, at the VMDK level. We've driven the snapshots. But does that restrict us to just restoring at the VHD level or the VMDK level? No, it doesn't. We certainly give you the capability of restoring at that particular level. We give you the capability of restoring your VHD files and be able to drive a virtual machine directly back to another virtual server, or to be able to restore it in the full server mode, and that's valid. But we also give you the capability of being able to go and restore individual files down to that file level. With VMware, we also give you a third option to be able to go and do a volume level, so we can go and restore just the E drive for that server, as an example. With Hyper-V APIs, you're more limited there. So what does that granular restore look like? Here, even though I've backed up a server, backed up off my virtual server called HV5 there, the actual virtual machine that was running there was a server called 2003 SPE test, and there you can see I'm now down inside the volumes inside that server, even though I've backed it up at a VHD level at the HV5 level. I can still do that granular restore, so I can drill down and see a normal file system kind of view. You can do this against Windows and also Linux in that context. So that gives you that granular restore capability. I can restore it directly back to a recovery area on HV5. I can restore it directly straight into the 2003 SPE test location as well if I want to. So I don't ever do any backup. Sorry, let's go back. I don't ever do any backup at that granular virtual machine layer. It's always done at the Hyper-V level. That second option that we showed you was that full container level restore. So now I can go and restore the particular server here. So they had a virtual machine called 7. I've gone and selected it. And you can see here we're hitting the VHD level and grabbing out all of the configuration files for the virtual machine. I can hit the drop-down box here now and send it to an alternate location, to an alternate Hyper-V server. I can send it to a different location, etc. I can even rename that virtual server on the fly as well. So you've got some advanced capability. I've kind of showed you some file system stuff, but you're not limited to file system stuff. You've also got full application awareness. So what if my virtual machine is running Exchange? I need to be able to make sure that when I go and back it up and trigger that snapshot and take the copies out to disk and tape, that I've also got consistency across my Exchange environment, or my SQL environment, or my SharePoint, or my Active Directory, etc. So we give you that capability of being able to go and back up the application servers also in your virtual environment. So how do we do that? We integrate through the VSS providers to make a VSS call to say, I want a consistent point of that environment, so that I can get the data that I get then out to disk or tape is in a consistent state. So that application awareness is a key part of protecting your data in your Hyper-V environments. Once we've got that level of information, once we've got that consistent backup of my applications, it's also critical that we then get access to that information at a granular level. So we need to be able to go, even though we've backed up through a snapshot by quiescing Exchange in that virtual machine, I still need to be able to go and restore an individual message. So a key part of what Commvault does is, even though we're giving you best of breed, really advanced ways that you back up your data in your Hyper-V environments, you're not compromised from your restorability. I still need to be able to go and find an individual message from Tom to Jim between March 27 and March 31 with this particular content. I need to be able to find those emails and restore them on the fly, or even give Tom the ability to go and find those emails and restore them. So just because we're doing really advanced, really cool kind of backups at that Hyper-V level, you still need to be able to ensure that I can go and find an attribute for a user, an email or a document, and be able to restore it in context. So that's kind of getting access to the information, not just being application aware, but also being able to then drill down inside the data, find information and restore it. So what does it kind of look like down at that particular context? We'll give you the ability with respect to Exchange to drill down through a particular mailbox, have a look inside the inbox folder, find a chunk of emails and be able to restore them on the fly. Or drill down through Active Directory and find, for a particular user, I can go and find an attribute for that user and restore that attribute authoritatively on the fly. To do that with any of the other competing products, you've really got to go and do a full system state restore in non-authoritative mode, reboot into directory services restore mode, then use NTDSU tool to find that attribute, mark it authoritative, reboot again, complete the restore kind of thing. So a couple of reboots, 20 minutes of downtime, etc., to do what potentially we've done here with several mouse clicks. The key kind of takeaway is, let's do really funky backups, but let's ensure that still at the recovery level, we've still got very granular, very rich access to the data at a rapid several mouse clicks, as opposed to let's go and restore some VHD files or VMDK files to get access to the data. Similarly with SharePoint, drill down through your sites, do a site level recovery, a sub-site recovery, lists, calendar items, etc., contacts, but be able to go and restore at a granular level. Even though we're doing those advanced backups, make sure that you can still do your granular restore capability. Should always be about the restore. We're architecting best backups and best data management for your Hyper-V environment, but you still need to always have the focus. The end goal is always on the restore. How do I get access to the data, or how do I get access to the information? And this is kind of taking that element a step longer. This is a SQL environment, which might be the back end to your SharePoint farm. How do we actually get that really cool management of your SharePoint data or your SQL data? By integrating the snapshot capabilities, so let's go and trigger our snapshots, and we're going to take a snapshot here at 4 p.m. and 6 p.m. and 8 p.m., so we've got that. We'll also do our log level backups, and we'll do our log level backups every 30 minutes, so we've got all our transaction logs there that we're backing up. And now, if we get a particular corruption at a point in time, so the point in time here is 6:42, then historically the way to recover back to that 6:42 has been quite a convoluted process. You'd have to involve your DBA, you'd have to give them the database, you'd have to give them the logs in a staging area, they'd have to recover the database in a particular recovery mode, then they'd have to grab the transaction logs, manually apply them to 6:42 p.m. and then execute. So it would be a long, drawn-out process. From a Commvault context, because we've automated all this as a process, we know where the database copies are, we know where the logs are, all we simply do is select the database that we want to recover and we select the point in time that we want to recover. We want to recover to 6:42 p.m. We want to do a point in time restore, and we want to do a full recovery as outlined. And then I hit OK. And at that point, I'll hit OK, and I walk away, and as soon as it's done, I'll be back up and running as per that point in time recovery. What does it do behind the scenes? To get to 6:42 p.m., it works out that I need to get that particular database from a snapshot. I need to revert that snapshot, so it's just doing a storage level, array level revert. So a very simple and quick operation. Then to get from 6 p.m. up to 6:42 p.m., I grab the appropriate transaction logs that I need, and it automatically applies those transaction logs through to 6:42 p.m. And then brings the database online. So something that DBAs historically would have fought with and struggled with for literally 6 or 7 hours now can be a 15-minute process all behind the scenes. We're going to use the power of the storage array, revert a snapshot, roll some logs, and we're at the point that we want without actually even involving the DBA in the process. So that's really cool. We've done all that cool stuff. We've backed all our data up, but we've backed all this data up. Well, the more and more virtual service that we throw at it, the greater the data volumes start to become. So data deduplication is a really key part of it. As I touched on before when we showed the Gartner slide, remember the two things I said that Gartner ranked Commvault really highly on? One was the concept of virtualization, and the other concept was data deduplication. It's great to be able to back up things in a really cool way, but unless you're storing that data effectively and efficiently and being able to transport it around, data deduplication is a really critical part of this as an overall solution. So from a Commvault perspective, it's about making sure that we do block-level data deduplication, that we're able to identify all the unique blocks and have content aligned so we can assure that across each of the VHDs, we're going to know that a VHD on a C drive is going to be relatively consistent across just about every virtual machine. Let's make sure we pattern match and store down at that dedupe layer, down at that second tier, only a unique copy of every unique block, and then have multiple pointers from each of the virtual machines to indicate what makes up the files. So from a Commvault perspective, at your Hyper-V level, when we do our backup, the first thing that we do is work out what data is unique. So is that data unique? There's no point taking a copy of that out of the snapshot to the dedupe pool or out to the tape, unless it's unique. If it is unique, move it. If it's not, then let's just update the pointer copies on the tape copy and the disk copy to indicate that we now have another reference to that particular point. Because of the way that Commvault works, because we work out what is the unique nature of it early in the process, we can tightly integrate our dedupe capabilities with encryption and compression and things like that. Before we compress data, before we encrypt data, we work out, is it unique? Whereas a lot of deduplication solutions will say, don't compress your data, don't encrypt it, because we need to see the data at the target. So Commvault offers a source side or a client side data deduplication solution to ensure that from our Hyper-V server or from our remote servers or from any location, before we move any data, let's work out, is it unique? I only want to move the data that's unique across the network, and everything else should be pointers. And that gives us the ability to reduce the amount of data transferred significantly. We want to make sure that if we're going to move some data, we want to make sure that it's only the unique data that we're going to move under backup or archive or replication. But not only then, once we've moved it, but what about now I've backed it up to this particular location? What if I want to get a copy over to my DR site? Then again, we maintain this kind of concept of source-side data deduplication. From my backup target here in my primary data center to my backup target at DR, I want to make sure that, again, when I move some data from here to the next location, again, I want to make sure that I'm only moving the unique data around at all times. Or when I synthesize full backups, let's make sure that we only move any data around that really is absolutely critical to be moved. So from all facets of the Commvault data movement, we make sure that when we identify that data in your Hyper-V environments, that you're only taking the unique data at all times and moving that around. What you'll find is that a file that's created in corporate gets saved at multiple locations and a copy's put into SharePoint and then five copies are emailed around to different users. So that one kind of corporate handbook that was created now has potentially 100 copies in the environment. when we get that copy and we try and store it down here in our storage location, that no matter that it's existed at 100 different sources and laptops and everywhere, that what we do when we do run backup is that we only store one copy down there. We might have 100 pointers into it that it's been referenced from all these different locations, that it needs to be retained for a different time from the locations, but ultimately we only store one copy down at that particular tier. So you can actually architect really advanced solutions around it. You might have some remote servers or some remote laptops that you want to back up over the wire and store some data in this policy, and we can do that with our source-side dedup. You might have your Hyper-V servers in your data center that we can store in that particular location. You might have some remote offices that want to back up locally and then put a copy down into the data center. You notice everywhere that we move data, source-side dedup or our dedup-aware copies, anytime we move data around, it's dedup-aware. And that combined with the virtualization, I guess they're the two key things that Gartner say Commvault's the best in the market in enterprise backup. They're kind of the two key reasons if you read the Gartner analysis. So we've backed up our Hyper-V service, we've stored it, we've done really cool stuff, but you know what it's really kind of about, it's not about the data. Sure, we can do these things, but what it's about is information. And I say that with a level of triviality. Users don't give two hoots about data. What they, you know, data is something that the storage guys back up and archive and move around. What users care about is information. I'm working on something, I need to be able to find that file. I need to be able to find that content that I'm looking for. So information is what really drives the users. You want to improve the effectiveness of your users and the efficiencies, give them access to information, make them self-sufficient, make them empowered so that they can find the information. So I talked about this a little bit before. This is the slide I want. I talked about this a little bit before in the context of being able to go and find access through to the information. So with Commvault, here's all the sources of your information. You might have some data in SharePoint. You might have your file system data in Hyper-V. You might have some laptops. You've got your email. With Commvault, once we've backed that data up, then we can also then content index that data. So we can look at our backup dedup pools and we can content index it. By content index, I mean let's go and scrape through the email body. Or there's a Word document attached to that email. Let's scrape through that Word document and find all the keywords and build a content index database. So that now we know about every keyword that exists in every document of backup. We know about every keyword in your archives, etc. So that you can provide those search. Not only can we search against the backup and archive data, but we can also search potentially against your online data. So go and look at your file systems and your Exchange data and also content index them. And once we've got that content index repository, let's now open that up to the end user. So the end user can go and do their own searches. If they had Active Directory permissions through to the data, if they had permission or it was part of their mailbox or they had delegate access or they had permissions in SharePoint, then they can go and do their own search for the data. Let's search for 4679 as insurance policy number. Let's go and search for that contract number. And it doesn't matter whether it came out of email or it came from SharePoint or it came off their laptop. If that piece of data exists and it's got that keyword in it and they had permission to it, then the user can find the data themselves. So it really empowers the concept of self-service restore. No longer does the user come to you and say, I want access to a piece of content, but I don't know the file name or the location. You can now provide access to them by saying to them, go and search for 4679 themselves and find access to the data. Or we can also do that full kind of discovery and compliance level search capability. So this one is Active Directory based. If I had permission, I can find it. This is your power user or your legal department or your HR department. I don't care who had access to it. I don't care where it was, but if 4679 exists anywhere in any piece of document in my environment, then I want that legal department to know about it because it's a compliance search or it's a discovery search. So you've got that permission-restricted search and that full discovery search capability. And it really is starting to provide, as I said, provide access to information. No longer is the user waiting for the help desk to go and find a piece of data and restore it for them. They can just go and do the keyword search, find it themselves, get access to it, and literally within a minute they can be productive again. So there's a whole raft of features here. I'm not going to dwell too much on these because I do want to kind of keep in the context of Hyper-V. But there's a whole raft of features here that really start to make it easy for the end user to go and find access to this information. So they can do things like searches within search. So we can start with a broad term and narrow it down. They can do things like near and far matching. They can do really advanced searching. You know, I want to find 4679, but only between March 27 and March 31. Or I only want to find it in the context of email. I don't want to find it in the context of file systems. Or I want to only find it if it was sent to me from Tom. So you've got really advanced searching capabilities that you can provide out to the end user. So they're kind of manual searches. Let's take this a step further. What if I've got all that data that we've now backed up from our Hyper-V environment, and we've got all that data and we've content indexed it and we've got accessibility to it? Instead of doing manual searches, what if we're able to enable you to do automatic searches? So let's go and say, if I ever find 4679 anywhere in any document in my environment, let's automatically go and send it to the legal department. Not manually, let's not wait for someone to do a manual search, but let's run a search on a scheduled basis every half an hour, every day. And if I find that, immediately send it to the legal department. You know, potentially a harassment kind of scenario. Pick some harassment keywords. If you ever see that, immediately send it to the HR department. Or let's go and find some data. If it ever meets a particular criteria, if we classify it, automatically go and drive it into our records management system. If it meets, if it come from this location and had this keyword in it, then automatically drive it into our record management solution. So not only can you do your manual searches, but you can also do your very advanced content searches and trigger some operations from that. And that's a Microsoft slide and a Microsoft slide. So we've got a few Microsoft slides. So really, that's kind of the context of what we wanted to talk about Hyper-V. I think the key takeaways are really around the context of, let's make sure that you're doing the advanced backups that you can. You want to make sure that you're protecting your Hyper-V environments with as little impact to your production environments as you can. You want to be taking them at the image level so that you're reducing the load on your production environments. You want to focus on then making sure that you've got granular restore capability. I still want to be able to restore an email or a document or an attribute or a file on the fly. Make sure that you're storing the data in a best possible sense. We only want to keep those unique copies, and we want to keep them and want to give the flexibility of being able to move those copies around. And lastly, as per the last few slides, let's also make sure that we content index that data so that we've done cool backups, we've given you granular restores, but let's empower the end user to do their own restores at a very granular and content aware level. So any questions? Cool. Well, thanks for getting out of bed early and coming and listening. I was looking forward to talking to myself there for a while. So, thanks, guys.